Should teach them well and let them lead the way. Welcome, welcome to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am so happy and excited that you chose to tune in to bring back the family focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. We, as always, we want to start off our show with a scripture and a prayer. And I just want to introduce our host that's going to grace us with the scripture and the prayer. We have Jacqueline Vandergriff. We have Rebecca Johnson, Callie Pierce, and our youth and our young adult youth host, Jacob Rebron and Shania Cox. And, of course, our brilliant, awesome wrap-it-up host, Pastor Drill Marshall Overall from Runners for Christ Ministry, Pastor O, and his biblical perspective, okay, and what God says about all of what we talk about. Amen? Okay, so start with our scripture.
Well, hello, Sister Kathy Clyburn, Sister Rebecca Johnson, Sister Pierce, Sister Young Miss Cox, and Young Mr. Ripron, and Pastor O. I thank you, and the listening audience. We love you so much, and I'm reading A Living Sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself and measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline Vandergriff. You know I love those scriptures. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. So let's pray. Dear Lord, our Lord, we are grateful that you are the only true and living God, that we serve a loving, compassionate, faithful, forgiving God that hears and listens and answers and is able and who is bigger than all our problems. We thank you for all the work you have already done and for lessons learned and for answered prayers. We thank you for going ahead of us to make this new day, for breath and strength and this moment to be in your presence. We thank you for your goodness and for victories over spiritual wickedness in high places. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short every day. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for each person listening or participating in Bring Back the Family tonight. We ask for strength in tough times. We ask that you bless, keep, comfort, and deliver every young person that is lost. Pray that you keep them safe from the enemy's schemes and cover them with the blood of Jesus. We ask that you send the perfect worker across their paths to give them a new understanding of you. We ask that you turn all our struggles into testimony. We ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. And we ask for all these things with thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. And thank you, Sister Jackie. Appreciate you guys. Yeah. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. It's a call for us to wake up, to get engaged, make a difference. It's time for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible and who is willing to take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up our minds to do? Are we ready to get busy with the challenges and the changes, the support and sacrifices, and just meeting the youth and people where they are, right where they are, in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who's going to be in charge of the next chapter passing the torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to the community. Okay? They didn't want us to be a nuisance to the community. They wanted us to go out and behave ourselves and treat people with kindness and respect. Okay? That's what it was about. So who's going to be in charge of that? Okay? Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this world. Okay? Wherever they go. And all they need is a good foundation. That foundation of parents and community comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them. Okay? So what do we propose to do? Bring Back the Family propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Okay? And it's just simply giving back. Giving more than what we had, okay? Block by block, do something on your block to share, to care, to love, be a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, they can learn, and live by, okay? It's easy, it's simple. What did your parents give to you? What can you offer? What can you offer on your block? You see kids on your block, what can you offer? What can you help them do? He did them for books, for workbooks. He take them to church, invite them to church, invite their families to church. And we have to get our kids back, you know, focused, our families back focused on what's important. God is the head of all families, okay? He's the leader, and we need him in order to make it in this world. That's number one. So we need to get our youth back in church. So invite your neighbors and some of the kids to Bible study, to church, so that we get our families back in order the way they're supposed to be, the way it was designed to be, okay? It's all about family and focusing on our youth. Okay, so we're going to discuss moving forward and keeping the focus on the youth. Okay, so bring back the family. It's focused on the youth. We'll discuss moving forward and what we have to do to get our youth to the next level of training. We're in the last quarter of school, and so what are we planning for our youth? We will discuss work, the work that's involved, and it's a lot of work that's involved in getting our youth ready. And we want everybody on the same page so that they know how much work it is and the struggles our youth endure not knowing what to do for themselves after graduation, in the summer. You know, basically our kids are lost. They're lost in space. And what happens to them when a plan is not put in place? What happens to them, okay? So give a youth a vision that don't have a vision, and if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later, okay? All right, so I just want to start with, hey, welcome everybody. Glad to see so many tuned in. I'm just happy and glad that you are tuned in, and that lets me know that you're concerned and that you want to see changes in our community and our kids and in our youth. Okay. Okay. So we have to wake up. That's our thing. Wake up everybody. No more back of sleeping. Times of thinking ahead. And, you know, we get busy with giving our youth what they need to make it. You know, we get busy. And it's a lot of programs out here, a lot of training programs where they can use their hands and that they can be trained, things that they can be trained on. And we're going to try to get those to them. Our youth can even go into the military, you know. But we have to start early with what they need to do to be able to go to the military in order to go to some of these trainings, okay? We are all busy. All of us are busy, and we have responsibilities, work, you know, taking care of our homes, our kids, our husbands, and all of our needs, you know, and everybody needs our attention, okay? So we're gonna make a few changes to the show so that we can have quality time to be able to set up and give a well-rounded show with guests and lots of resources. And so we need some time in between, you know, to gather our information, do our research, and get our guests, okay? Then we are going to, you know, we do our block by block with our youth. And hope that, and you know, it's my hope that you would do something on your block for your youth, and you'd be able to come back and report, okay? Report soon on what you're doing, because that's what it's about. It's about helping the youth. And if you see some youth on your street, you know what's going on in this world. It's a lot going on with our youth. Okay, so we are the host and us. We decided. Now, Fridays is our day, and we need to be able to go out and organize and make sure that everybody knows what Bring Back the Family is about. And so we decided that we are going to do our show every other Friday, okay, every other Friday, and then the holidays are family days. So those are days that we won't do the show as well. The different holidays, we use those as family days. Because that's what we used to do. We used to have family time on the holidays. So we are just going to do the show every other Friday, starting with this month. So we'll be doing the 8th and 22nd. And it might have to be adjusted for, the holiday that's coming up, which is Easter. And I know Good Friday we won't be doing it because that's a family day. And hopefully, people go to church that day and acknowledge what it is. And we'll just adjust it as we see fit as we go on, okay? Okay. And so it's just about getting organized and working on our upcoming programs. We have some programs that we're going to be working on for upcoming for the youth, trying to secure funds for those projects that we're working on. And we just need to spend time doing that, spend time advertising the show, and just making sure everybody have the information and know about Bring Back the Family, okay? And what the plan is for our youth, and to encourage families, parents to really get involved. We need our parents to get involved, okay? So we're going to be foot soldiers and going out in the community to bring awareness and the reality of what's going on with our youth, okay? Do we want our youth to be statistics? Do you want your child to be a statistic? There's a lot going on, and we just need to make the community, the parents, aware of the reality of what's really happening, of what's really happening. I don't like what's going on around me. It's getting too close. We had a young man that was shot down with an AK-47. That's just over the top. And so that just, that really did something to me. And so if we don't get out in these streets and show our faces and talk to these young people, and let them know, because the young people that did this, what is their life going to be like? If they were in church, reading their Bible and studying, they would know what their life would be like doing something like that. They wouldn't do it. Okay? The Spirit would make them have a different heart for what they did, for what they were going to do, because these things are planned, and the Spirit would have deterred them a different way. But can you imagine what their life is going to be like now? If they get caught, when they get caught, they're going to go to prison. Life gone, four lives will be gone, literally gone. One will never come back, and the others will be in prison probably the rest of their lives. It's such a waste. And it got too close. So it's our responsibility to keep our kids safe and to let them know the consequences of the things that they do. If they don't know, they're going to just keep on doing what they're doing, have no conscience at all. So I'm looking at the long view of this as far as what's going to happen. How can they sleep? They might be cold, but how can they sleep? How can they sleep knowing that maybe somebody is going to retaliate and come for them? So how can they even walk the street safely? You can't hide all your life. So we need to be talking to our youth. A young man walked down my street today, and he just had the most worried look on his face, And I was like, okay, hello, how you doing? And he responded, fine, how are you? And so we need to communicate with these young people. Let them know that we still care, that we want to help them, okay? Do we want our youth or our own children to be statistics? Do we? Because what's this summer going to be like? We have kids graduating, coming out of school, If we don't plan for our youth, if we don't plan for them, they'll plan for themselves. Like I said, basically lost in space. What are they going to do this summer after school is out, after graduation? Okay? What can we do to avoid this summer being a bloody and deadly summer? Okay? I'm tired of hearing about our young people failing and being targeted and killed. This almost beginning to be the norm, and I don't want that. We don't want that. Okay? So what do we have to say about that? Okay? If we don't plan for them, they will plan for themselves. If they have nothing, they're going to go find their own trouble and struggle. Okay? So I got my host, Jackie, and Rebecca, and the audience out there, and if you want to have a word, then just press 1, and you can do that. And so we're going to just start our show. Hey, Miss Jackie, Miss Rebecca, and the listening audience.
Hello.
What do we have to offer? What are we going to do about our youth and making sure that they're safe this summer? That they're that they have some plans. Let me tell what our new number is. Our new number is 515-605-9781. And like I said, we're going to be foot soldiers out there, making sure everybody knows the information and giving out flyers and bookmarks and things like that, and just talking to the parents and the community about what we need to do and what we're facing out in the streets, what we're facing, that we all need to get more involved, okay? And tell them about bringing back the family so that we all discuss this. And I don't want to keep on discussing it. I want action. That's why we're going to go to every other week, because we want to start planning for our program to get our youth involved so that they can have something to do, okay? They can have a vision, okay? What you guys have? I'm sorry, I'll take the time to do. Hey, Miss Jackie and Miss Rebecca and Paso and anybody else that wants to respond. Okay. Go for it. Miss Rebecca, Miss Jackie, okay, I'm going to make sure you guys are on. Okay.
Well, you know what, Miss Kathy?
Uh-huh.
Miss Kathy, I was sitting back listening to what you were saying, and everything you're saying is 100% true. But, you know, as we go through this, waiting at the last moment, things can become overwhelming. And even a well-organized plan can be shattered, and you have to start all over again. Grace of God, you get through it because you have to depend on and listen for the answers, for the word. You have to listen and be humble enough to say that I need help, because we can stop a lot of this if we come together, because we all, and I was speaking to another young man who is doing some great things. I said, we all doing a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here. But if we pull all those resources together, we could become an unstoppable team. And this is just coming across my mind, is that step by step, block by block, is 100%, it's almost like being a brick mason, that you put one brick down at a time to make sure that you seal it right
and that it will stand for the duration. I mean, there are buildings that were built many, many years ago, but because the foundation was put in place. Well, what happens when the foundation was put in place at a younger age and it was shattered? Or what happens if there was no foundation and this shattered child is trying to build a foundation? We have to plan, because we were talking, Ms. Kathy, about the two steps across the stage for graduation. The child that will step across the stage and accept their diploma and have a direction. But there's also the child that nobody's looking at, that's so happy that the child graduate, but this child is stepping across the stage with emptiness. The emptiness is the one that we need to target, so that each child step across that stage to accept their diploma for that achievement, that they have some form of direction. So what does it take? It takes us to come together. Everybody have their role. Your role is a teacher, and I think the prayer that you selected, self-explanatory, if you're a teacher, teach well. Well, as a teacher, you need to identify where, and some teachers are great at this, where your child is good and where your child is strength and their weakness. And there are some teachers that are very good at this. But it takes a village. So where do the parents have to step in? It's a lot of work. Yes. It's a lot of work. And we started out very good and kind of without the support we needed, kind of fell short of some of our goals of the 100 scholarships applying. And when you look at applying for the scholarships, they are so detailed that it takes you a long time to be able to meet those requirements. So we have 11th graders that are about to go into the 12th grade. Well, the same scholarships, let's start them now. If it requires an essay, meet the essay and have it in your cloud. So when it's time to fill out the application, all you have to do is pick and choose the essay that fits that one and tweak it a little bit and send it on, and you're not overwhelmed. The rules of FAFSA is constantly changing. The rules, we found out so many different things that how the post-secondary schools are big business, and some of the, I want to be careful with my words, strategies they use to make their school look like it's a prestige school, and it's hurting our children because they do a large amount of rejection to make the ones that are accepted feel that they are exceptional students over the ones that was rejected. And our children really don't understand it's a strategy that the universities are using in order to make their schools a prestigious school. Time is your best friend. The earlier you start, if you start when your child enters the ninth grade, start looking at the requirements for the colleges and sit there and put an essay together to meet that criteria of that particular one, when it's time for you already have the list, you can get your kids' information in. Because you have to remember, things change every day. And we can't just let people know about the strategies. We have to have more than one person knowing what you are doing for your child as far as their education, because God forbid, and we went through that, if something happens, then the other people around this child don't know what you all had planned or put together, and it's not fair to them. And then the child is the one that suffers. So we need to, as we develop and go on, because it's a step-by-step process, we need somebody that's just there for education, a team of people, not one person, a team that is focusing schools and going in and meeting with the counselors. This is what we're doing for this child here or these children here, and so we all can be on the same page. This is just a suggestion, and I think Ms. Kathy, you and I have been, and Ms. Rebecca, we have been discussing this as an ongoing process. But we can keep our children focused if we come together as a whole community and embrace our children, because children idle minds, when they don't have nothing to do, that's when they get in trouble. I remember my coach saying to me, and us, it was not just me, whoever has the loudest voice between those two little pretty things on the side of your head, the message that's going in there is who your child is going to listen to. So, and it's something Ms. Kathy said, when they get a certain age, you can't talk to them like they're a kid. You have to talk to them like they are going into young adulthood. And they have to become a part of decision making. We're not going to sit here, something you were saying today, sit here and monitor you to make sure you do right, because you know right from wrong. So when we give them that independence that you know right from wrong, then they know when they make these decisions, but you have to keep them active and give them solutions where, like, for instance, the golf. We were talking about this earlier, being able to have an extra curriculum or training in golf. So when you are 30 years old and there's a big meeting and the meeting is going to be held on the golf course, you're prepared. You can go out there and know how to swing a club. You could go the distance and have a conversation and fit right in. So we have to prepare our kids to be well-rounded also, and with the different activities. You learn it. Nobody's asking you, and we've talked about this today, to be a Tiger Woods. We're not talking about you being a caddy. I mean, the job that pays all of that money for the little amount of work that they do. We're not telling you you have to do that. What we're saying is be able to be well-rounded where you can go out there and hold yourself and hold your and have a meeting. It might be at that point where it's something that you might know something about it and people know you're expert at it. Good example, esports. You know, you had that on your team. And I'm gonna shut it down because I'm long-winded. The Olympics is looking at esports very serious. Now, what if an e-sport, and some schools have degrees in e-sports now. So what if that e-sport child, a young adult, is recognized and they want to meet at the golf course to discuss an international contract? Will you be prepared? So I'm going to leave y'all with that because I can be long-winded.
Miss Jacqueline Vandergriff, I thought that was several very good points. But the one that I really want to talk about is that idle mind. Is that you are so right about the youth that have nothing to do. And we need to keep them busy. They could go to Bible study first, but I have a couple of other ideas. Young people can start a business before they even graduate from high school. There's two businesses you could start with no money, and one is to write a newsletter. If you like to write, and if you have a topic that you can talk about endlessly, then you can start this newsletter. And if you're clever enough to get enough people on your list, on your email list, then you can monetize it and start putting ads on your newsletter. And you can do this as a young person on the side in your free time. And the other one is a theme page. So you build a page, possibly on Instagram, and just make sure everything you post is the same theme. It could be cars. It could be esports. It could be pets, cats, anything, and you just post the same material on a regular basis and build up your following. And once your following is large enough, people want to pay you to advertise for their businesses. There's one young lady who had a business at 15. And she still has a business. If you look it up, it's Shayla Chef, and she sells vegan drinks. Now, if I had a 15-year-old child that wanted to go into business and that's what she wanted to do, I would support that, but I would try to encourage her to sell something that's easier to ship than drinks. But in any case, that's a good experience for a young person, and possibly by the time they graduate high school, they could have something that has a stream of income to go with it before they even finish high school. So I wanted to mention those two things and how young people can have businesses to prevent from having an idle mind and nothing to do. Of course, we could keep them in church, maybe. We can try. We can go to church ourselves first and be an example and drag them with us. And that would be something productive to do on a regular basis. And I came across this list, too, and I think it's appropriate, several things that no one tells you about parenting a teenage son. And so here's the list. They need you to listen. Says they just want to be heard. And another one is that they need you to teach them that it's not all about them. It's difficult, a difficult concept for them to wrap their heads around when they are the center of our universe, but we have to show them that it's not all about them. And then we have to show them how to value people who look and live differently do. And in that way, we'll be teaching them empathy and also we need to show them that you can't force someone to like you. And someone told me that 30% of the people will like you and 30% of them won't care one way or another. And the last third will not like you. So you can't expect everybody to like you. And when you start to expect that people won't like you, you'll be more comfortable. And then another point is not to expect your child to be instantly compliant to the rules. You may have to work on these things and repeat yourself a lot. And then another point is your way will not always be the best way. So we have to be open to doing things outside of our way. And then we need to teach these young men that no means no and to understand when someone tells you no, that they mean that they do not want whatever it is you're offering. And this one really stuck out to me. It says, your greatest conversations will happen in the car. And she says her teenagers hate to talk on the phone. And I noticed that only the over 50 crowd is talking on the phone. The young people are texting or posting. So you can find these opportunities to have good conversation with your young men in the car. And then we also need to delay their gratification and to teach them how to delay their gratification. So they say that children who were able to resist temptations of a test of a marshmallow grew up, so they give the kids a treat and ask them to wait before they eat it. And you've probably seen this because it's a popular test where they put a pile of M&Ms in front of two children and tell them to wait 3 minutes before they eat, and they video what happens. And it's amazing how some of these young children can wait and some of them can't. So it's a good skill to have to be able to delay gratification. And then we need to teach them to take responsibility for their life. And they're not little boys and they're not yet quite grown, but they need to change what they don't like and don't leave it up to anyone else. And those were the main points for what people don't talk about that you may struggle with in having a teen to raise, to parent a young teenage boy, and the issues that come with that. And so those things plus consider a business as a way to teach money and teach how to be productive when you're not in school. And that's all I have to offer.
I have a question for you, Miss Rebecca. I know you said that the newsletter was one of the jobs, a business they could have, but you said some type of page also that was on Instagram.
A theme page, so a T-H-E-M-E page. So that just means you pick a topic, any topic, and then you have that whole Instagram account be about that topic.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Both of those, everything that you guys talked about was very, very informative. I like, the business aspect, teaching to be productive. And they can have what they want, Actually, if they want money, they don't want dimes and nickels and pennies like we used to get. They want $25. They want real money. And so that's a good way for them to have their own money, and then it'll teach them about, about business. And they can grow up being business people, always have that in their spirit, business. The church is a training ground, actually. It's a training ground for life. And we just need to make sure that our kids and kids on our block are going to church. Like I said, invite them to church because they have Bible class for the kids, Sunday school for the kids, and they teach them about the Bible. They teach them about Jesus. They teach them about being good. They teach them about praying. They teach them about everything that they're going to need for later in life, okay? And it involves reading. It involves interaction, being active, and just being interactive with other people and other kids and showing them how to get along and how to communicate well. Because they need it. They really do. Because my kids, I got, between 6 and 8 of them that I bring to church. And when they're in my van, we go, we got a lot of places that we go. We have a book club that we go to, and that's going well. But they get in the van, and they argue with each other. And sometimes they say not so nice things to one another. And so they can't get in my van because my van is the love van. It's the be kind van. And so if you can't be kind, you can't get in, So we're working on that. But I have the church to help me. So I bring them to church, and they go to Sunday school, and they always come out with something good, something they can work on. And they remember it because I ask them to tell me what you did. And they're excited to tell me. Everybody's excited to tell me because they're all talking at the same time. Okay, so if they keep going and keep going, that's going to work on their behavior. That's going to help them to be able to talk to each other kindly. It's going to help them to be able to be a group and be a team, as Ms. Jackie mentioned, being a team and then working together, networking, It helps with their whole life. And they're young, and so we need to start them right where they are, right there. And they enjoy going to church. And a family of mine, they moved on the other side of town. So, it's a struggle going to pick them up. We get to church a little late, but we get there. And so they call me, and they say, well, we're going to church, Miss Kathy. Can you come pick us up? And so if they're calling me to come and pick them up, I have to go pick them up. I have to do that. They move. I'm sad that they move. They're sad that they move. But God give me the opportunity to go and pick them up, keep me safe getting them there, and keep them safe getting them back. So I thank God for that. And so church is just a training ground for life. And kids can learn a lot with that. And once they start to talking about school and going to colleges, you know, the church will support you. They will encourage you. They'll give you scholarships, and then they'll keep up with you when you go to school. We have quite a few young adults going that's in college now. Neil Jones, Alex Meyer, you know his name, Alex, and Nedra Gaston, and quite a few more. I miss them. But they're going. You know, my nephews are going, Jordan and Anthony Cox. And actually, he's having a fashion show. It's called VIM Magazine. It's presented by VIM Magazine. That's Thursday, March the 4th, 8 p.m., the Dawn Pleasant Theater. And that's in Lansing, Michigan. And that's going to be Thursday. So the kids are doing some things, and, you know, we're proud of them. Okay, so take the kids to church, you know, keep them safe. That's a safety net for them, you know. Well, they'll learn how to pray. They'll know how to pray for peace. They'll know how to pray for comfort. They'll know how to pray for safety. And we know that we need to be praying for our kids' safety these days, okay? So, like I said, church is a training ground for life. You know, they get encouragement there, support, and they get love. Okay? So, that's all about bringing back the family. Bringing back the family. Invite their parents to church. Okay? Now, if they're not ready to come now, it's okay. At least the kids are coming. Okay? And that's just giving back. It's just giving back. Okay? And then we'll see the fruits of our labor. That's all it is, the fruits of our labor. We get to see it because these little ones are growing up. And we don't want to meet them in the street if they're not untamed. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Yes. We have a lot of untamed people out there, kids out there, young folks. That's doing some serious crime. Where is that coming from? We need to show more love. These are our kids. They came from us. Somebody dropped the ball. We trying to pick it up. And so I'm excited for even just keep trying, okay? I was happy my little babies called and said, "Miss Kathy, you're going to church today. Come get us. I'm on my way." Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you, Sister Jackie. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. If anybody else have a word that they might want to give us a conversation and have some comments on what you heard so far, you are welcome to press 1, and we'll open up your mic. And other than that, we will get ready for our awesome, awesome, awesome concert. And you know, on this show, you even get a word. You get a word at the end of everything that we talked about. A word that's relevant, and that's going to move you to want to read your Bible, or want to be a part of God's kingdom. Okay, so. If we don't have anybody who will want to say something, we will bring on our magnificent, awesome old from World for Christ Ministries. Let me see. There you go. Hey,
Pastor.
How you do?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
Just wonderful. Just, you know, going through the life things that come your way.
Exactly.
We all busy and got stuff going on. And, you know, it's work setting up the show and getting, you know, all these things together. And then when your car breaks down and you're stranded, you got to get a tow truck and, you know, it kind of give you, you know, put you back. So.
Yeah, right.
Life happens.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we got to hit it with our head, head on.
Yeah, I had to set up Wednesday. I was really sick. You know, I didn't say nothing over the air or nothing like that, but I was really out of it Wednesday. And exactly what you're saying, still had to do the Bible class, and then for some reason the Lord just had me talking extra. I was sounding like Jackie. I'm long-winded, y'all, because you know I can be long-winded, right? You ask me what time it is, I first got to tell you who created the first clock, then tell you what time it is, but... yeah, so Wednesday was a horrible day for me.
No.
Then I kind of recovered. And then Thursday, like you say, the car breakdown, right? Check engine mm-hmm. light came on my other, on my red truck. And then the blue truck needed new spark plugs, so both of them had to be redone. And of course, I was the one doing it with something that felt like vertigo, upset stomach, can't see straight deal. But, you know, you get past those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I heard Rebecca, she was talking about delayed gratification.
Can I interrupt you a minute?
Hmm?
Can I interrupt you a minute? I got a caller that wants to say something. Okay, go ahead, 5555.
Hi. This is Barbara from Charleston, South Carolina. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for inviting me to come to the radio station. I've been meaning to come for quite a while. I don't live in Detroit anymore, but I'm well connected. And I'm listening to you thinking about all the connections I have that could probably help your organization. Are you familiar with Gail Perry Mason?
Yes.
Gail does a lot with children in terms of financial planning. And teach them about stocks and bonds and financial planning and everything. She has a program for kids. It would be very nice if you guys could get in touch with Gail. Either I will call her and ask her. Two, I have a friend of mine who has a program in Detroit called, my mind just went blank. She teaches young kids about how to get in college, and she's hosting a Black Friday event coming up in November. Or educating parents and students about they don't have to spend no money going to college. And I'd like to bring her on. You guys can meet her and talk with her and find out if she could be a benefit for your organization.
Okay. Okay. Beautiful. Well, Miss, I'm sorry. This is, what's your name? I'm sorry again.
Barbara.
Barbara, yes, Barbara, I'm sorry. Miss Barbara, hi, it's so good to hear from you. So, Miss Barbara, you know that we're going to get you a day that you're going to come on and you're going to talk about all of your resources and what you have to offer. So we're going to get back with you and talk to you and find out which Friday that you want to be on, okay?
That sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for that bit of information. But we're
going to
get it. Well, okay, thank you. Okay, you can proceed, Pastor O.
Okay, let me switch this stuff around. Okay, yeah. I was listening to Rebecca as she was talking about, based off what Jackie had been talking about, and one of those things was delayed gratification. And a funny story came up, but it's right out of the Bible. A good example of delayed gratification and how it pays off to wait until the right time is, how many remember Achan? When Joshua and them was taking over Jericho, the Lord told them not to take anything. To him, it would be kind of, long story short, it would be like a first fruit offering. Okay, let me have the first one. But Achan saw some of the spoils, some of the treasure. And he took it, and he hid it up under his tent. Well, Joshua and them go off to Ai. They come up with their own plan. They don't ask the Lord nothing. They go down to Ai, which is smaller than Jericho. only they fail miserably and 36 people die. So when they get back, they fall on their face and talk to the Lord. The Lord tells them, you got a problem. There's sin in the camp. His name is Achan. Turns out he's a relative of Joshua. Well, Achan took the stuff. He confessed to taking the stuff. Joshua brings down the judgment. He's burned, his wife's burned, his family's burned, all his property is burned. Now, God gives Joshua and them a plan to go and take Ai. This time, the Lord comes up with the plan. Totally different from the one they had. They get the victory. And what is the moral of this story? In the second town, Ai, that he took, the Lord said, take for yourselves all of the spoils. And every place after that, take for yourselves all of the spoils. Just give you the 10%, you know, that he asked for. But the rest was theirs. If Achan had just waited, he would have gotten what he wanted and some. He would have become wealthy just like the rest of them. But he couldn't practice delayed gratification. He couldn't wait. He wanted the pleasure of this stuff before it was time. And sometimes we do that. We get tired of waiting on God. And so we come up with our own plan. Example, King Saul. Samuel, after anointing him as king, because the people didn't want to be under a theocracy anymore, they wanted to be under a monarchy, they said to Samuel, we want us a king, like all the other nations around us. The only problem is the other nations around them had no relationship with God at all. They trusted in the king, and now they want a king. Samuel's upset about this, but the Lord says, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. They're rejecting my theocratic government for monarchy. So, of course, God tells Samuel, tell the people what this king is going to be like and what he's going to require from them. He did. They said, nah, we want a king. So they get a king. Samuel anoints Saul king. He goes through this little ritual to get him ready. He becomes king. Samuel says to Saul, wait 7 days. I'm going to return. We're going to do a sacrifice. Then we're going to see what God wants us to do. Now, Samuel is a priest, prophet, and judge. Last judge, priest, and prophet. Okay? He can do a sacrifice. Okay? Because he's a priest. And if you remember when God gave them the law, the rules, the regulations, and bylaws, only the Levites could serve at the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Only the priests could serve at the altar. Problem, Saul is not a Levite. Saul is not a priest. So, the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, are all massing up against them. And his people see this, some of them get scared, and they run and hide. Saul see what's going on with his people. He becomes concerned. It's now 6 days Samuel hasn't come back. Saul is starting to get nervous because the armies against him are massing up. And Samuel's still not here. But Samuel told him, wait 7 days and I'll return. Well, on the seventh day, Samuel was yet to return. Saul says, my men are running away. The rest of the people are losing heart. What will I do? And so he decides, I know what I'll do. I'll take the worship of God and use it as a good luck charm to encourage the people. And so he calls for a sacrifice to be made. And he makes the sacrifice. And as soon as he does, Samuel shows up and says, Saul, what did I tell you? Samuel says to tell Saul, if you had waited the 7 days like I told you, God would have established Benjamin. You would have been king forever. Just like God told David, I'm going to establish your throne forever. Of course, Jesus is the one who lives forever, so he is the one who accomplished that. It would have been Benjamin. But Saul couldn't wait 7 days. Sometimes serving God, waiting on God, can cause us to come up with our own plans to make happen what God wants to happen or said could happen or could happen. Case in point, Abraham. God says, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You're going to have a son. Abraham is 75 years old, and his wife is 65, past the age of childbearing. And so they come up with an idea. They have to go down to Egypt because there's a famine in the land that God led them to. And so they go down to Egypt. He says, Sarah's my sister, which is kind of true, because they had the same father, different mothers. Because they had heard that this king in Egypt, even though the Egyptians were strong, strong in family values, right, big believers in that, this new Pharaoh had come up with a way to get around that. He wouldn't just take your wife. He would kill you. Now your wife is single. Then he would take her. And when that news got to Abraham, Abraham said, say you are my sister. And so she did. And guess what? Pharaoh took her. Why? Because she's single. This is his sister, not his wife. He didn't take her knowing it was his wife, and he didn't kill him to get his wife, but he lied, okay? So while they're down there in Egypt, God has already told Abraham about Isaac and how he's going to, you know, bless the whole world. So Pharaoh can't keep Sarah. Or Sarai at this time. He can't keep her. Or Sarah at this time. Can't keep her. Why? Because God has a plan for her. And it's not being in the harem of a Pharaoh. And so God wrecks Pharaoh and his whole house. And it comes clear that this is not Abraham's sister, but his wife. Long story short, Pharaoh kicks him out of town. But while Sarah was in his house, he gave her a handmaid named Hagar. They were so afraid of anything that was connected to them, she went with them. They get back to their own place, back in Canaan. They establish themselves there. But still, no child. Sarah comes up with the idea that, well, this maybe God wants you to sleep with Hagar. And since I can't seem to have children, maybe this is his plan. They couldn't wait until God did what God said he would do. After they have this child, God returns and talks to Abraham. And says to him, your wife, this time he's more specific, your wife Sarah is going to have a child. Abraham's heart was ripped apart when his son had to be put out of his house along with his mom. He had waited so long to have a son, and now he has a son. And he has to go because that wasn't God's plan. In the book of Galatians, in verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Waiting on God, serving God, and wondering when is God going to can sometimes cause us to give up, stop waiting, stop trusting, stop leaning, stop relying, because we've been waiting too long. Could you imagine being the children of Israel and waiting 430 years for your change to come? Could you imagine being Simeon in Luke chapter 2, being told by God that you will not die until you see the consolation of Israel, meaning Jesus, as a baby? But he lives in great expectation every single day. He kept living for God every single day. Every single day was a day of, I may see the consolation of Israel today. So no matter what the drudgeries of life put in his way, he overcame them things. Why? Because he has to get to the next day. Because he has to see the consolation of Israel, as the Lord has promised him. So he cannot let this distraction, this setback, this hold up, stop him. How would you like to be Anna? She had been married for 7 years. Her husband died. And now she is living with this great expectation of the Messiah coming. And now at the time we meet her in Luke chapter 2, she's 84 years old. But just like Simeon, every day is a day of great expectation. Today could be the day the Messiah comes. The Bible says that after her husband died, she stayed in the temple daily. Some folks give up on God if they got to wait 2 weeks. She waited 84 years. Simeon was an old man. And Simeon, after seeing the baby Jesus, said, now you can dispense me. You've kept your word. I've seen the consolation of Israel. Again, in Galatians chapter 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. 1 second. Amen. You know, I cannot tell you how many times I quit pastoring, running for Christ Ministries in the first year. The first service, we had gone from January until April. April 3rd had finally come. We had this building that the Lord showed me in my head. And we've waited and waited and waited. It's really been since June of 2002 when he first spoke to me. And now it's April 2003 and we're about to have our first church service. We've put out flyers. We put an ad in the Telegram newspaper. We put it in the News Herald. Somebody told me the other day they still have the ad from the News Herald. We're set. We're ready to go. My wife and I have set up some 50 to 100 chairs. We're ready to receive a harvest for all this work we put in. Time comes for the service to start. Nobody's there but my wife and myself. I needed to have a little talk with Jesus. I went into the back room, closed the door, and me and Jesus, I had a good talk with Jesus. It wasn't little, a good talk. I was a little upset, and I was telling him, Lord, I told you, it should have been, I get it. So when I came out after my little talk with Jesus and saw about 25 people, amen. All of a sudden, I wished I had just waited. Amen. Sometimes we can become weary with doing good. But at the proper time, if we don't give up, we'll reap a harvest. This is what God has said. And from 2003, that day, to this day, yeah, Running for Christ Ministries has reaped a harvest. And so parents might want to give up. Children might want to give up. Those of us who've been put in ministry work by God might want to give up because it seems so hard. You know, Isaiah, the prophet, I remember him screaming out to the Lord, "Lord, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our report?" Because when he looked around, it didn't look like God had revealed himself to anybody. And when he looked around, it didn't look like anybody believed what they were saying when they said, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, there is a psalm that I love. You know, I don't often say there's one particular part of the Bible that I love. But if you'll allow me, Kathy, I want to read this. It's got quite a few verses, but I'll go through them as quick as I can. It's Psalm number 73. And this is like one of the greatest encouragements because we are God's children serving him in this dilapidated world. And sometimes it can seem like he's nowhere around. And sometimes it can look like evil is just winning and grinning and skinning, and we over here just slipping, dipping, and diving and falling. And we wonder, how can it evil triumph like that? And we are the children of God, and it seems like we can't even make a dent in a car with a brick. Listen, how the Lord encouraged me. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. For their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?" This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have been betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you, yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. That psalm encourages me greatly to continue in the work that God has called me to do. Because this work that God has called us to do is not easy. It's not always, sometimes the rewards we get, we won't get until we get to heaven and stand before Jesus. And he rewards us for the deeds done in his body, whether good or bad. So as he says over there in Galatians chapter 6, amen, and verse 9, encourage yourself with that. Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. They that endure to the end shall be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to quit. I'm like Jackie. I feel my help coming, so I better quit.
I love it, Lord, with me. It's always something inspiring and good for the soul, that's for sure. You get some good conversation and you get a good sermon on the end, just to, you know, take it all home run.
You know, that's some good news about the schedule, because some first Fridays I'll probably be out at the drag strip, not racing. I've discovered something new by mistake. On my YouTube channel, when I preach and teach, people be like, you know, I'll watch that. But then when I take pictures of hot rods and stuff like that, then you end up with 1,000 views in one day. And so I think I've stumbled onto something that I can turn another way toward the Lord. Yeah, I think I've just stumbled on something else. So on those first Fridays, I'll probably be out the drag strip because they have a really big race, and I'll be videoing those races and going through the pits and the whole big old thing, just like I did the Autorama. So I just stumbled on that by mistake, you know.
That's cool. Yeah, you got to get it in. We all, that's all we need, you know. We all have things that we want to do, that we can do, and we need to get a break sometime, too. And, you know, everybody's schedule is, like, packed out.
I'm telling you, I always dreamed you had to be fabulously wealthy to have every day scheduled away, but that's not true. All I have to do is wake up, Kat, and my day starts scheduling itself.
It does.
It just starts scheduling itself. I don't even have to wake up doing nothing, but the phone will ring, and then a text, and then a this, and then a that, and the next thing you know, the whole day shot. Well, it ain't shut, but you know what I mean? And then the next day starts scheduling itself.
It's going so fast. It's just going so fast. And I'm like, where is time going? Where did the day go? And then, like you said, things just jump in. And my niece called. She said, Kat, you got time robbers in your life. I'm like,
It's something though. I just wake up and the schedule's like the writing on the wall. You'll be going here. You'll be doing this, and
oh,
Lord,
yeah.
when the phone ring though, that's always it.
And the best part is that you can fall out and go to sleep. When you sleep, it's over. It's over. Yeah. Okay. Well. Thank you, Pastor O. That was some good stuff there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome. I just thank God that I had no idea what I was going to be talking about tonight at all, no clue. But then I heard Jackie, I heard Rebecca, and then I heard you, and then the Lord said, there you go. Bring it all together.
Yep. It's all relevant. It goes together. Yeah, it's a story about everything in that Bible, and that's what makes it so exciting. And, you know, once the kids get to learning that, you know, these stories, then they're going to get more excited.
I wish we could get more people to do what you do on Sunday, because, see, Sarah, she devoted to them kids, and she is the perfect person, and she knows just how to reach them because that's what she does at her school. So this is just an extension of that, and she is really I can tell because they come to me saying what they did or showing me what they made, and they're happy about that. You know what I mean?
All these kids need some love and attention. I mean, they want people to be proud of them and what they do. That's it. It's so simple, you know, just giving those little simple things. Yeah.
Do you teach them to hug? Because they all come up and want a hug. Yes, you can have a hug.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, well, they see everybody in church hugging. That's how you learn. They go to church and they see everybody hugging. So, yeah. Yeah, then they, you know, they
say, wow, they so huggy.
They are. They are. Yes, my little pooper give me all kind of kisses. He just, when I come in the door, he just, yeah, he's jumping up and hugging me and kissing me and and I'm like, oh boy, I look forward to coming home.
You can always tell. You know, you can always tell. By the way they act, because kids don't know how to be fake yet. So, I mean, they know how to fake cry and stuff like that, but they just don't know how to not tell the truth. Just, you know what I mean? They'll say anything. And
they ain't no shame in them. They genuine. If they mean, they mean. If they loving, they loving. If they... So we're working on all that, so they learn it, because I have a rule, you know, if you're not happy in the happy cat, in the cat band, then you can't be in here. And if your behavior is not good, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to drop you off at home. And then you don't get to go to the after church activities.
Right. Real rules, real consequences.
Yeah.
And that gets that shapes behavior.
Yeah, there you go.
That's one time of being left out makes them know that I have a responsibility to behave.
Yeah.
And if I don't, then I won't get to enjoy.
Yeah, we've been rolling too long for them not to know what to do. So if they get dropped off at home, they're like, oh, man, he's going towards my house. It's too late. I don't say a word. I just let them, you know, do their thing. You know, if they do it wrong, and they know where they're going. And they're, oh man, what did I say? What did I do? We give them a chance to think about what they did. Then they come correct the next time. So yes, sir. Good deal. And all that works. Church work. Sunday school, Bible study, all that works. And, So, Sarah better be ready, because I'm going to get those, like, 20 kids I saw on Bassett. I'm going to get them. It was a whole game. And they were all the same. They looked like they were all the same age, because they were all the same size, and they were just in a big old group, you know, just on the street. I'm like, I'm getting them. It's Reverend Thomas haven't gotten them already because they're on his street.
Right back his house.
Yeah, I think they're his neighbors, like one or two doors down. You better get them or I'm going to get them. Okay, so, hey, thanks, everybody. Pastor O, what you got going on tomorrow and Sunday? If you don't have a church home to go to, and if you want to listen to church on Blog Talk, Pastor O is going to tell you how you can do that.
Well, tomorrow is going to be Pastor Terrence Tate, and the service starts at 10 a.m. You can call in at the same number you called in tonight, 515-605-9781, 515-605-9781. You can go to rfcm.org and click on Worship Services. Get all the information you need to lock in for Saturday and Sunday. So tomorrow, Pastor Terrence Tate is going to be preaching on Sunday. I will be preaching. We're going to be talking about a subject of a song we sing called This Is How We Fight Our Battles. Okay, so we'll see you on Sunday, 9 o'clock for Sunday school. Our assistant pastor, Janice Tate, is the teacher. And then our worship service starts at 10 a.m. We're located at 27085 West Outer Drive in the city of Ecorse, 27085 West Outer Drive in the city of Ecorse. Okay, God bless you. Hope to see you.
Thank you, Pastor. I look forward to that. If you don't have a church home, then tune in tomorrow and come on over on Sunday to Run for Christ Ministry. We would love to have you. You get a lot of love over there, a lot of hugs. Okay?
Yes, and bring your children out to Children's Church. We have our associate pastor, Sarah Tate McClendon. She runs our children's church, and bring them kids on out right around, 10:45 to head downstairs, and there you go. I might go down there with them because they be eating down there. They have food. I didn't know that.
That's right. Bring the gang of kids to church. Bring them up because they're going to be in no seats. We're going to be gone, and they're going to be in no seats, so we got to get them ready, okay? All right, then. Okay. All right. So, hey, we will see you on the next Friday. It's the 22nd that week. Yeah, the 22nd next Friday. We won't be here. We'll be out working and being foot soldiers and telling people about bringing back the family and getting our programs together. We need time to work on those programs. Okay, because everybody's busy, so time is not waiting on nobody. It's really moving like a locomotive train. Okay, so thank you for all the listeners and the participators, and just thank you. And, we got work to do. That's it. We have work to do, and we are excited about it. Okay, like Pastor say, but don't give up. Don't become weary in doing good. I love that. Don't become weary in doing good. We're not giving up. We're in it for the long haul. Bring back the family. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay? Jacob, we support you. Shania, we support you. Shania moved to California with her job. That's what she chose. Out of everything that, they've been through with losing their dad and all. She didn't want to go because it was bad timing, but she did go, and she's going to be there until they move her somewhere else. So she's just getting some opportunities, so we want to congratulate Shania Cox on her move to California with her job with Hormel Foods, okay? Jacob, keep up the good work. Whatever you're doing, keep on doing it, okay? You're doing well, senior this year, so we're going to look forward to celebrating him. Okay, all right, so we have lots and lots of work to do. Ciao.